Members, I will now call the Post-Secondary Education and Workforce Subcommittee to order. Andrea, would you please call the roll?
Chair Mello?
Here.
Vice Chair Beltran?
Here.
Ranking Member Tant?
Here.
Representative Amnesty?
Here.
Representative Bell?
Here.
Representative Burfield?
Here.
Representative Cross?
Here.
Representative Dunkley?
Here.
Representative Escamani?
Here.
Representative Esposito?
Here.
Representative Gonzalez Pittman? Representative Henson?
Here.
Representative Lopez?
Here.
Representative Plasencia? Representative Rudman?
Here.
Representative Shope?
Here.
Representative Temple?
Here.
Thank you, members, and by your presence, we have a quorum. Just a few housekeeping items. Members, please silence all of your cell phones. And if there are any members of the public that wish to speak or provide testimony to the subcommittee, please fill out an appearance card. Also, I would like to take a page out of Chair Garrison's book, and I would like to thank the Sergeant of Arms Office for you all being here and keeping us safe. Last year, we had a few controversial bills, and I really appreciate your presence here, and thank you for all you do. I would like to introduce some new staff, as some of you may have noticed, and welcome back to all of our committee members from last year. Good to see you all. We have two new staff members with us this session. First, we have Andrea Vernon, who will be our new administrative assistant. Ms. Vernon is a new staff member with the Florida House of Representatives. She came to us after 5 years with the Wakulla, did I say that right? Look at me, County Sheriff's Office, and was a barber for 14 years before that. So I may come for some hair help from time to time now that I know that about you. And next we have Jenny Blaylock, who will serve as a policy analyst. Dr. Blaylock is also a new staff member with the Florida House of Representatives. She has an extensive background in education, research, policy, and nonprofits. And she's awesome, according to Representative Tant, including work as a middle school English teacher, an analyst at the Florida Department of Education, and a gubernatorial fellow in the Governor's Office of Policy and Budget. Most recently, Jenny served as the Vice President of Resource Department for the United Way of the Big Bend. So, members, would you please all give a warm welcome to our two new members? Thank you, everyone. Our presentation today, many of you have listened to me through last year, and I will be redundant again this year about my passion for workforce and post-secondary. And I still, thank you to the speaker, sit on CareerSource as a board of director. And I know many of you are equally passionate about workforce. And I thought this year, you know, I learned in my freshman year, I thought it was all about passing bills and great policy. And I think that it's important to focus on, we pass great policy, but what's happening with that policy down the road? Where are we on implementation? And I think it's great to kind of take that pause and think about, it's equally as important to get updates on implementation and where we are with that policy. So today, members, we will receive an update on implementation of the REACH Act. I ran part of the REACH Act with, at that time, was Representative and Chair Yarborough, and it passed the legislature during the 2021 legislative session. Today, we will have the following presenters. We will have Katie Crowfoot from the REACH office, and Katie is the director. And we will have Ms. Pamela Neighbors with CareerSource Central Florida, President and Executive Director. I would like to call Ms. Crowfoot up at this time. And members, if you would please just hold your questions to the end of the presentation, and I will make sure that all of your questions are addressed. Thank you. Ms. Crowfoot, you are recognized when you're ready.
Okay, great, we're on. Thank you so much. So, Madam Chair, Vice Chair, Ranking Member, committee members, thank you for having me here today. My name is Katie Crowfoot, and I am the Director of the REACH Office within the Executive Office of the Governor. Today, I will be providing an update on REACH implementation. Specifically, we will address the FL WINS program and the coordination efforts between agencies that have and will have an impact on how Floridians access workforce services. So let's begin with a very brief review of the REACH Act. As the chair mentioned, you are all aware the REACH Act passed in 2021 and is a comprehensive blueprint for enhancing access, alignment, and accountability across the state's workforce development system. The impacts of the act are wide-reaching and include adult education, state colleges, tech centers, school districts, local workforce development boards, the university system, state agencies, data systems, funding, the list goes on. But the REACH Act's goals are clearly to improve equity and access for all Floridians to have opportunities to achieve self-sufficiency, create a system-wide approach to service delivery across multiple state agencies and partners, increase the level of collaboration and cooperation among the state's business and education communities, and provide greater accountability and transparency. Last session, Senate Bill 240 built upon the success of the REACH Act by emphasizing the expansion and growth of apprenticeships, providing flexibility on how we administer grant programs that are meant to encourage the growth of apprenticeships, and then strengthening the collaboration among private industry, our educational institutions, and our local workforce development boards, specifically to encourage work-based learning. So while the spirit of the REACH Act tasked all agencies dealing with workforce issues to collaborate, the core agencies impacted are Department of Education, Department of Children and Families, Department of Commerce, and CareerSource Florida. But this is by no means an exhaustive list. We have many more agencies that come to the table on a daily, weekly, and monthly basis. So the REACH Act also created the REACH Office within the Executive Office of the Governor, and we in the office are tasked with coordinating Florida's workforce development system. We also are tasked with ensuring the creation of the No Wrong Door strategy that you'll hear more about later today. We are tasked with increasing accountability among our workforce partners, working through vast amounts of data sharing agreements among state agencies, directing the Talent Development Council, and then coordinating the expansion of apprenticeships and other work-based learning models. So there's a lot to talk about when it comes to implementation of the REACH Act. The office and our agency partners have been busy over the past 2.5 years, and today I'm excited to share some of that progress we have made regarding agency collaboration, and again, what to expect from the FL WINS program in the coming years. So prior to the REACH Act, each agency operated independently. There was little communication with other agencies unless required. Agencies were unsure of what services were provided by their agency partners, and there was duplication of efforts for some services and programs, as well as no coordinated oversight of workforce programs in various agencies. After the REACH Act, we've had increased collaboration with our core agency partners through weekly meetings, and we have buy-in from agency senior leadership. We're branching out to other agencies, as I mentioned before, to brainstorm ways to address the needs of Floridians. For example, we're working with the Department of Health, where we discuss the nursing needs in their county health departments. We've been talking to the Department of Corrections to understand the training needs of those returning to the workforce, an agency for persons with disabilities to better understand how our partner agencies can support their clients. Overall, there is a greater understanding of the agency's services to better serve Floridians. The largest initiative of the REACH Act is the Consumer First Workforce System, or the FL WINS program. FL WINS is an innovative, consumer-first workforce development system that seeks to provide Floridians improved access to workforce programs and services through interoperable systems and shared integrated data. What does that actually mean? What we envision is twofold. First, it entails the No Wrong Door Entry strategy and the creation of a workforce portal for Floridians to access services. The portal will be integrated with the partner agency systems, making it easier for Floridians to understand what services are available and also how to access them. The portal will include a single intake form, so Floridians will not be required to repeatedly enter their basic information whenever they begin to work with a new agency. The agencies integrating their workforce data on the screen include those core partners that Florida Commerce, Department of Education, DCF, and Career Source Florida. The second part of FLWINS, and what is definitely the heaviest lift, is the data integration. Data integration is what will allow our state agency partners to better serve Floridians. And we have some, what I think is exciting news. As of this morning, Florida Commerce has posted the procurement for what we're calling the Customer Portal Project, but what is effectively the build for the FLWINS system. So with that procurement out on the streets, we hope to have our vendor onboarded in early 2024. And then throughout 2024 and 2025, Floridians will begin to see in phases the launch of that program. So we're very excited about that. It's a big day for the partners. So let's look at how Floridians are served today. Here are a few examples of people you may know and serve, and we'll be going through each of them. So we have Willie. So Willie is an 18-year-old senior in high school. He's only aware of the traditional college path. He enjoys working on cars and completing repairs around the house for his family. But he's unsure of what opportunities are available to him without a college degree. Willie needs help understanding the opportunities that are available to him. He needs help with training and some on-the-job experience. Willie has at least two doors where he can access services between Commerce and Career Source. And these are not exhaustive of the doors, just examples of what some of the in-scope systems for FLWINS might help him. So those are two doors. Next, we've got Adrian. Adrian finished serving a brief sentence for a nonviolent crime 2 years ago. He lacks marketable skills for employment, and his record has presented serious obstacles to secure full-time employment. He has also begun to struggle with homelessness and is currently living out of his car. Adrian needs career counseling and training to find employment, and he needs help accessing permanent housing. Between three doors, DCF, Commerce, and Career Source, Adrian should be able to access the services he needs to achieve the goals. Cindy has a progressive bilateral visual impairment that makes her vision worse over time. It's becoming more challenging to go about daily life without assistance. She hopes to one day become an architect, but lacks the requisite qualifications. Cindy also struggles to go about daily life in Tampa Bay, Florida, where she lives in a six-story apartment building alone. So Cindy needs support to obtain training and transportation, as well as some other supportive services. So for Cindy, she looks to DOE's Division of Line Services for support for her needs for the many programs they have there. Next, we have Marianne. Marianne is a single mother of two under the age of 10 living in an apartment building in Miami, Florida. She's struggling to meet her expenses and is interested in SNAP benefits and temporary cash assistance. Marianne dreams of acquiring the skills necessary to become a registered nurse. She's looking to build a better future for her daughters and herself. So Marianne needs training support, childcare support, transportation support. So Marianne can access these services, but she's going to have to go through these three different doors. She's going to have to go talk to Department of Children and Families, Career Source, and the Department of Education. And again, this is just at a minimum for what the information we have presented today. Next, we have Robert, and Robert will be our last example. So Robert is the 66-year-old grandfather. He retired from a long career as a lobby steward in a large office building in Jacksonville. After 2 years in retirement, spiraling inflation, rising housing costs, Robert's quickly burning through the modest amount of retirement savings he has. Robert's looking to re-enter the workforce, but does not have skills that are in demand. He also has a slight hearing disability, makes it difficult for him to participate in conversations, presents a barrier to new employment. Robert needs support finding a job, possible training, maybe food and housing assistance, and assistance getting hearing aids. In order for Robert to access these services, currently he has to go through at least four different doors: DCF, Commerce, Career Source, Department of Education. So what do all of these Floridians that we just quickly went through have in common? They all have to interface with so many agencies or programs within agencies to get their needs met. They must know what services to ask for, or they're completely reliant upon the interagency knowledge from case managers. The future state that FLWINS program envisions eliminates the need to walk through so many doors. Because of data integration, no matter where someone enters, Floridians will have a more seamless experience accessing the services they need. there will not be a wrong door. So let's go back to Robert the Granddad and follow him on his new FL Wins journey might look like. And I know this slide is very busy and there's a lot of information on there. We're going to walk through it. But this is just an example of what you might find in our targeted operating model. So we have so many documents and so much research that we've been creating over the past 2 years of discovery to really understand what the agencies are doing now, what they should be doing, the needs of the clients, of the Floridians. So these are the kinds of documents you would see in some of our more technical documents. So wanted you to see kind of the level of detail that we can go in as an example, and we'll kind of walk through it at a high level for y'all. So Robert initially uses the FL Wins portal to identify the services he might be interested in. So Robert's interested in the Division of Vocational Rehabilitation. He realizes that he might need to go talk to the local workforce development board, and that there's other programs like the Senior Service Employment Program or the AARP Back to Work 50 Plus that might interest him. So this is all information that would be easily, readily available for him within the portal. So once he realizes, oh man, there's these programs that I might be able to benefit from, he can then go and create an account in FL Wins, and he fills out that common intake form. So he's only filling that form out once. He identifies his initial interests, and then he's able to provide eligibility documentation through the portal, which is a big deal. As I'm sure you know with your constituents, how do we actually get these eligibility documents to the programs? The goal here is to make that easier through the portal. And then he's also would be able to make an initial appointment with vocational rehabilitation through the portal as well. So we hope to be able to have scheduling as well within this portal. So because he's able to schedule and get those eligibility documents up through the portal, Robert's able to meet with VR and the local board staff at the same time in the same office. And that's something that already exists, that co-location between our local workforce boards and vocational rehabilitation, but something that he's more easily able to benefit from by going through the portal to schedule. He receives career counseling help from board staff and is able to get referred and scheduled with an audiologist through his VR counseling coach. Within days, Robert is notified through the portal of his eligibility for VR services and meets with his counselor again and is able to build out his plan. He also continues to work to find a job with board staff who refer him to those programs he had found out about as well as others. So he's being referred to the Senior Services Employment Program and the AARP Back to Work 50 Plus Program. As he continues to work with the local board and VR staff, communications, update, and progress, those are all managed within the portal. And as he continues down this path and works diligently with his counselor and with local board staff, he is able to find that employment that gets himself back on a path of self-sufficiency. So that's just one example of how a client might be able to interact with the system. So I've told you about the exciting vision for the future with FL Wins, but we're not waiting for that to come. So we know we have a timeline of the next couple of years where you guys will be seeing these different phases evolve once we have this vendor on board. But we're not waiting around. We're still coordinating, and we're trying to make services better and more seamless for Floridians. So we're constantly working together to bring the vision of the REACH Act to life. One of the ways we're doing this is through a partnership called the HOPE Florida, a Pathway to Prosperity program. Through this initiative, we're connecting the HOPE Florida program from DCF, which is an in-scope program for FL Wins, which is very exciting, so we'll be able to have that program as part of FL Wins. We're connecting that program with CareerSource Florida programs and services now, even before the system's built. So CareerSource Central Florida is here to discuss this partnership, which they have been piloting for the last couple of years, and I'm excited to let everyone know that this pilot program is now being rolled out to every local workforce development board in the state, which we're thrilled with. So, Madam Chair, as you mentioned earlier, Pam Neighbors from CareerSource Central Florida is here to talk to us about the great work they're doing.
Thank you, Ms. Crowfoot. Can you maybe just pause for just a moment? Does anyone have any question that they would like to ask at this time prior? Oh, boy. Okay.
All right.
Well, something I would like to say to all of you members as you mentally prepare your question. I want you to think about, in 2021, we passed the REACH Act. Mm-hmm. As Ms. Crowfoot indicated, this portal will not launch until 2025. So I think all of us here outside of this building and our day jobs, we probably can relate with Robert the Granddad, mm-hmm. wondering like, okay, my application was so quick to do, why is it taking 12 days? That being said, I want you to understand that Ms. Crowfoot is an oversight office. Mm-hmm. She cannot strong arm anyone, get them in a headlock, arm wrestle them to get things done. She is merely to observe, give recommendations, and accountability. So, okay, show of hands again and let me, all right. Representative Tant, you are recognized.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. I just had a quick question. It's really, first of all, I applaud you for everything you've presented today. It's really wonderful. In respect to, I was asked this by my chamber, so I'm going to ask this question. In respect to the Robert the Granddad slide, when we have work opportunity tax credit programs, can you expound a little bit on, like, what that means? And, like, do employers already have a tax credit program they can enroll in to take on this workforce?
Yes, sorry.
Ms. Crowfoot, you're recognized.
Thank you. Yeah, so the Work Opportunity Tax Credit Program already exists within the Department of Commerce, and that is a benefit to the employer if they're employing. And we can get more information for you on that, and Commerce is here. We can follow up with you afterwards.
You're welcome. Rep. Hinson, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for bringing the Chancellor back to show us all the good work you're doing. And I think you're going to save me a bill slot if. So I was considering a reentry resource center where all of these things you're talking about could be co-located at one place, because we have people coming out of prison and having to go here and there without resources. Mm-hmm. And they exist, they just don't know where to find them. Mm-hmm. And we could help people with their recidivism if they could get all of their resources packaged in one location. It sounds like this wrong door thing you're talking about. First of all, is it? And how would it work? And would there be somewhere for people who are not of this century? I'm saying it the way I mean it. They don't know how to operate phones. They don't know how to operate computers. Well, maybe computers, but they're just not digitized. It's kind of like my sister, who's lived abroad all of her life. When she comes back home, she doesn't know anything about what we're doing. And it's like, beam me up, Scotty, because I don't understand what's going on down here. Well, what can we do to help them access these resources, mm-hmm. if not live and in color and at a place where we can walk them through it? That's a big question. I'm sorry.
Thank you. You're recognized, Ms. Crowfoot.
Okay, great. That's a great question. And yes, we are working with the Department of Corrections on some of these issues. So I guess to first address FL WINS and the question you asked. Currently, Department of Corrections is not an in-scope system, so we're not working with Department of Corrections. We have, you know, we have a timeline, and we have a very great budget, but there is a budget, and so we have had to select the partners, and those have already been selected. We talked about CareerSource, yes, went through those. But that doesn't mean that we're not thinking into the future and how, and building a system with FL WINS that in the future, an agency like Department of Corrections would be able to come into the fold and be integrated. So I don't know if that answers your question fully. So as of right now, it's not in scope, but that doesn't mean that in the future there wouldn't be an opportunity. And as far as your reentry centers, would love, I know we're having similar conversations with others, would love to talk about the resources that are available already. I know you're very familiar with your local workforce development board and those, but maybe there might be models in other parts of the state that we could work
Wonderful.
With you to identify.
Thank you.
Thank you. And do you have a follow-up? Okay, I would like to just interject for a moment. I want to acknowledge Ms. Crowfoot, because this summer, through my various CareerSource Board of Director meetings, I was very passionate about what I call the missing middle. Mm-hmm. And the missing middle, the education chair and sub-chairs went to Atlanta over the summer to an annual education conference. And you're right, we talked about incarcerated people who are transitioning into the workforce, and it never occurred to me, many of them don't even know how to work a microwave. So I hear you, and I want you to know that this missing middle that you're seeing today is response to my concerns about identifying this group of people who are non-traditional students, and how do we arm them with the tools that they need to earn more money and have a better future. So thank you very much for listening to me, hearing me, and providing this information. So with that, you go ahead, you are recognized.
Thank you so much. So I think what I'm hearing is the future is not close by for them, not when you launch this program. And maybe I need to move forward with the bill, with your help, to collaborate these services or co-locate these services.
You are recognized.
So I believe that the population we're talking about would be able to benefit from FLWINS without direct data integration with the Department of Corrections. So I just want to make that clear. So, you know, within the next 2 years, this population will be able to benefit from the FLWINS portal as it comes online. And then as far as any potential policy that you're developing, we're very happy to help in whatever way we can provide information about the current state and what other things we may be working on.
You're welcome. Rep. Cross, you are recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Ms. Crowfoot. This is really exciting to see what is going to be available to workers in our state. Looking at some of the apprenticeships and the expansion of that in SB 240, where is the best place for people right now to find a list of apprenticeships that may be available? And is that consistent statewide, or does it vary by region and by needs?
So it would vary by region. I know that we have a lot of apprenticeship information throughout our different partners, but there is a website, Apprentice Florida. I want to make sure, Apprentice Florida. I'm getting thumbs up, but I didn't want to misspeak. Apprentice Florida, which would be that central location. And if there's anything there that's not there that you guys think should be there, we're currently in the process of having a lot of apprenticeship conversations, so we'd love to hear more about ideas you guys might have.
Follow up, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And how do these apprenticeships kind of fit within some of the existing apprentice frameworks with labor and with local school districts?
So how do the...
Is there any expansion of these apprenticeship programs,
yes,
or are they kind of utilizing existing mm-hmm. programs with labor or school districts?
Got it.
You're recognized.
So Department of Education is doing a lot of work to expand existing frameworks, but then to also build frameworks for what we would consider not traditional apprenticeships. So we're really excited about that work. And then one thing that I'm personally very excited about, and I hope to be able to come back and maybe talk to you guys more about this in the future, is we took a look inward at our state agencies and said, you know, we want to support apprenticeships throughout the state. Why not our agencies be a model for that? So we are working closely with our state agencies. The Department of Blind Services has piloted this, and we're really excited about the work there, but we have engaged with, I would say probably at least 5 of our partners right now are in talks with the Department of Education to build out frameworks for their needs. So we're really excited about that opportunity as well. Yeah, thank you.
Representative Lopez, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I have a comment and a question, if I may. Thank you. So the comment is, thank you again for working so closely with me as a follow-up to both Chair Mello and Representative Hinson's remarks on the justice-involved individuals. Just so that, you know, I just want to thank you for working. I'm a member of the Florida Foundation for Correctional Excellence. Our role is to try to find ways in which to train inmates while they are still incarcerated for jobs that are available for them when they get out. So you have been very helpful in coordinating and integrating the Department of Corrections and the DSO with your efforts. So I want to thank you for that, because it's been very helpful in aligning REACH with the department and its goals. What I did want to ask you, you know that a lot of work has been done, obviously, to implement the REACH Act, as in addition to the enhancements of Senate Bill 240, but I do think it's important for the committee to understand where are we in the full implementation? Are we on schedule? Are we behind schedule? Kind of give us a timeline, because I think we're all very interested in the good work that you're doing, but more importantly, when will all of this, you know, kind of be completed? That would be very helpful. Thank you.
You're recognized.
So I would say that our implementation activities for the REACH Act are on schedule. I'll maybe talk a little bit specifically, because there's a lot of different activities. We'll talk maybe specifically about local board realignment and then also FL wins. So local board alignment, CareerSource Florida has spearheaded that realignment activity, and over the summer, the board approved a reduction in boards from 24 boards to 21 boards. And so CareerSource Florida has procured some assistance from a vendor to help coordinate those efforts for consolidation, because this is a big job consolidating these boards. And so we have a timeline that by the end of this fiscal year, those new boards will be consolidated and we will have that map of 21 boards. So we're very, very excited about that and very thankful to our local board partners who have come to the table and are working closely with CareerSource on that consolidation. And then FL wins, as we were talking about, we've taken a very deliberate approach with FL wins. So I know it feels like a very long time since the REACH Act has passed. We have taken lessons learned from other big projects like this. FL wins is really an unprecedented task. This is a big deal. And we don't have many other examples of states successfully taking on this size of a project for data and for integration on the workforce side. So we've wanted to make sure that that we were doing it right. So we have taken a very deliberate approach to discovery. So we have been talking to our agency partners. We have been talking to other states. We have been talking to SMEs in order to make sure that really this procurement that launched today was in the right spot so that we can be successful moving forward. So we've undergone a lot of work that kind of leads up to today, which is really exciting that we're here to talk today. But then moving forward, as I mentioned, once we start this build, we hope to have a phased approach where at the end of 2026, we don't say go live and all of a sudden there's a portal. We want over the next several years for there to be iterative progress so that we can come here and show you, look, these agencies' data is integrated and this is how the portal is showing that. So we're really excited that over the next several 2 years or so to be able to bring those updates to y'all. But we are on time and under budget currently, so we're excited about that. Yes.
Okay, Representative Tant, you had one follow-up question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I meant to clarify for myself. So the tax credits for employers, that includes tax credits for apprenticeship program.
Yes, we have people.
Perfect. Yeah. That's what I wanted.
And we'll get you more information.
Thank you.
Representative Esposito, you are recognized.
Thank you, Chair. I appreciate that we're on time and under budget, but you're talking about a four-year project, and I understand that this is an intense undertaking, but our businesses can't wait 4 years, and our individuals and our citizens certainly can't wait 4 years to get started and get on a career path. So what can we do? What resources do we need to add in order to move faster? Because I know that we worked with one of the pieces of legislation we passed last year was adding CDL driver's licenses to the Open Door Grant. Like, we need this stuff to move faster. We have an incredible need in our communities and in our state, and we're not solving the problem.
So Pam Neighbors from CareerSource Central Florida is about to come up, and I think this is a great example of kind of that interim solution as we're building the system. How can we start making these connections and make this more seamless for Floridians so these things can happen more quickly? So I hope and if that doesn't answer your question, we can connect and happy to talk through all of that with you.
Thank you, Ms. Crowfoot. And yes, I will, Representative Esposito, I know how passionate you are about this as well. So after the next presentation, I'll get back with you. Thank you for this presentation. It's very thoughtful and I appreciate your delivery. I feel like I've sat through a lot of presentations where it's speed reading and you really don't have the opportunity to process or digest the information. So thank you very much. Next, we have Ms. Pamela Nabors. She is the President, CEO of CareerSource Central Florida. Ms. Nabors, you are recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members, and thank you very much for having the opportunity to tell you what's happening out in the region with the REACH Act and the coordination of services. So let me quickly tell you a little bit about me and CareerSource Central Florida. CareerSource Central Florida is one of the current 24 regional workforce development boards throughout the state. We are actually the second largest board in the state of Florida. We serve the five counties that surround the city of Orlando. And what we are doing each day and every day is serving career seekers and businesses. We really have two customers, the career seekers, the residents who come to us and need support with career coaching, job training, upskilling, all of the services and workforce development, as well as the thousands of businesses that are needing talent and needing skilled talent to make them competitive. CareerSource Central Florida is also very honored to be partnering with this pilot project for Hope Florida with the Department of Children and Families, CareerSource Florida, and the REACH Office. It really is an initiative that allows the agency, Department of Children and Families, CareerSource Central Florida, and the community to partner together to lead to better outcomes, particularly for individuals who are struggling to get back into the workforce. So the Hope Florida pathway, I want to tell you a little bit about, has grown out of pilots over the last 2 years. CareerSource Central Florida partnered with the Department of Children and Families back in 2020 during the pandemic to create a coordinated care approach that utilizes Hope Navigators from Department of Children and Families, which guide Floridians on an individualized path to prosperity, which focuses on that collaboration between the CareerSource Board, private sector, faith-based community, many other nonprofits, and the governmental entities that are working with each of the customers. This approach really breaks down traditional community silos and maximizes our resources at the local level. Department of Children and Families began warm handoffs to CareerSource Central Florida for assessment and career planning and coaching, and you kind of see the steps on this slide that shows you that the Hope Navigators at DCF are providing an electronic referral form. This is a voluntary program directly to individual career consultants, which are career counselors at CareerSource Central Florida. We actually have five physical locations in CareerSource's region. Two of them are embedded inside the state colleges, one in Osceola at Valencia and one at Lake Sumber State College in Leesburg. And so the individuals not only immediately get an orientation to individualized career coaching, the growing sectors, but also understand where they can actually go to training immediately at our partner educational institutions. The customers work through really a comprehensive case management process with both the CareerSource Central Florida career consultants as well as the navigators. As a result of this partnership, CareerSource Central Florida was awarded some additional resources through CareerSource Florida to initiate a Get There Faster project, which takes now the individuals being referred who are voluntarily coming through the process, puts them into a cohort that actually equips them with life skills, employment skills. We utilize the ready-to-work certifications that are so important for businesses to recognize that these individuals have the credentials that they need to be successful in the job. They also are a part of using virtual reality equipment to understand different jobs, construction jobs, for example, or technology jobs. And they have this opportunity to choose. They actually have a signing day where they choose, am I going directly to work? Am I going to continue to work with a career counselor? Or am I going to actually go into a training program and get that great new certificate? So since its inception, we have, and this is really, again, our pathway, that warm handoff, the CareerSource Central Florida consultants and the DCF coordinators working together all the way through the process. And we utilize at the regional level the different titles and funding that are coming to us and make it very seamless for the customer. At the same time, we're working with our business community, particularly in our growing industries of construction, healthcare, technology, modeling and simulation, semiconductor manufacturing, to get individuals interested in these careers and then get them quickly back out into the workplace. So since its inception, we actually have received 2,200 referrals, and that is since 2020. And actually, about 100 individuals have enrolled in the experience to date. It is a very intensive process with the Department of Children and Families working alongside with us. The individuals have many other needs in addition to the skill gap they might have or the employment services they need. And these are just some of the outcomes that we've seen to date. 50 of them, and we still have a current cohort in process, have actually completed the entire curriculum, have attended that signing day. They have decided on a future career direction. 48 have earned Florida Ready to Work credentials. We are issuing individual training account scholarships to those great programs with our technical colleges and our state colleges. And we actually have 9 of them who have entered internships and or apprenticeships, which I heard also is a very important aspect. They are able to look at the regional board's list, which includes the apprenticeship opportunities available in each region. That's one of the things they do look at. We have a wonderful partnership with electricians in particular that are working with this program. And then we have actually had 26 placed in employment, and every day we have more businesses who have contacted CareerSource Central Florida and want to come to the table and be a part of this partnership. Several contractors in the construction industry, Coca-Cola, and also KPMG Resorts. So I want to tell you about really another Marianne the mother. This is Atenik, the mother. She actually moved from New York to Florida. She's a single mom. She was looking for a new opportunity for her and her daughter. She enrolled in one of these cohorts I mentioned called the Industry Career Exploration Academy, which is an initiative of This Hope Florida. She earned her Ready to Work skills credential. She also received an internship with State Line Contractors as a construction appointment setter, and she received a full-time offer of employment. She was promoted to a coordinator and then to project manager. So as of just the other day, she actually received a second promotion. So it really is working. You can see her smiling face, and this opportunity with Hope Florida changed her life. This collaboration that has been fostered by the REACH Act initiatives at the regional level is really making a difference for our customers. So thank you very much, and Madam Chair, I'd be happy to take any questions.
Thank you for your presentation and being here today. I love the story on page 27. That is what I'm talking about with my missing middle. And it's impressive, Ms. Nabors, that you are the second largest board. So out of curiosity, how do you market your services to local businesses in your surrounding area?
So we have a number of ways that we market the services. First and foremost, we have our website, our connections with Florida, CareerSource Florida. We're marketing jointly across the region. We utilize their materials. We utilize ours. We have a pretty significant social media outreach campaign. We also have a stable, if you will, of business consultants who are deployed out to the business community in all 5 of our counties. And they are also very focused on those industries of growth. So they are specializing, for example, in semiconductor manufacturing, construction, healthcare, hospitality and tourism, of course, and also finance and business, which are many of the growing opportunities, particularly in Seminole County.
An additional question, and thank you for that answer. I know that the local workforce development boards get together frequently through annual conferences, our CareerSource board meetings. Do you sit down as a kind of a consortium and share your successes and ideas with other boards that maybe aren't as large as you and just kind of have a think tank of ideas of how they can be better successful?
We actually do. So as a part of the Florida Workforce Development Association, we have a standing committee that is a best practice committee. So we are at our regular meetings sharing best practices. But I do think it's somewhat more organic that we actually reach out to each other, particularly as we look at this Hope Navigator initiative. As Ms. Crowfoot mentioned, this initiative is rolling out statewide because we have seen such amazing success in Central Florida. And we are working together with the REACH office and with CareerSource Florida to help share the things that have worked with our Department of Children and Family Partners. And so we are very focused on providing and sharing those best practices. And I'm always available to connect with my colleagues, and I'm very willing, and I have lots of resources to be able to share with them to talk about what's worked. I also want to hear from them about what's working in their areas, because what I do know is that our areas and our regional businesses are often very different.
Very true. Thank you. I have several members that have questions. Representative Esposito, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Can you tell me what your annual budget is?
You're recognized.
Thank you. So our annual budget at CareerSource Central Florida this year is $38 million. I would say, though, that not all of those resources are flowing through the Department of Commerce and the CareerSource Florida system. We also are a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and we receive resources from our local counties and municipal partners, as well as private donations.
Follow-up, Chair?
Yes, and I just would like to say to you, Representative Esposito, you have an unbridled passion. I feel your last question prior with the prior presenter is very valid. At the same time, I think that just so this committee knows, this is going to be accountability 101 and this in the next few weeks. And as everyone's schedule, all these different agencies, their schedules free up, they will be here. We will have DOE here. We will have Department of Commerce here who can address a lot of your questions in terms of timelines and accountability. You're recognized.
Thank you. I just wanted to reference your outcome slide. Just doing the quick math, you're talking about helping 403 people in a matter of 3 years for $38 million annually. Am I reading that correctly?
You are recognized.
No. So the $38 million, my annual budget, is all of the different programs and services for the HOPE partnership, and I can get you the exact amount that we receive for TANF funding specifically. The TANF funding is what supports the career consultants in our organization that are providing the career counseling and support. Those individuals are among the other thousands of individuals that are referred on a monthly basis to CareerSource Central Florida. There is a process that individuals who apply for cash assistance must come through the CareerSource system to be engaged in employment services, in getting back to work. The HOPE Florida individuals are volunteering to either wait for their cash assistance or be in this very special program that's going to require them to have more intensive coaching and counseling, being accountable. So it is a pilot within the larger perspective of what we do for the program.
Thank you. Representative Burfield, you are recognized for questions.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On slides 24 and 25, you talk about the referral. And I was wondering, in respect to the customer referrals, would you share what is the vetting process for the education and training providers post the REACH Act, both for the initial and the continued training provider eligibility?
You're recognized.
I might ask for clarification. Vetting the assessment for opportunities in career training, are you asking?
You're recognized.
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes.
Okay. So during the program, the 3-week initiative, as individuals go through the ready to work credentials and they go through the employment skills training, they're also taking career assessments. And those career assessments are then they're interpreted for them and then looked at in a juxtaposition to the different training programs that exist in our region. Additionally, our post-secondary partners like Valencia College, Seminole State College, Orange Technical College, Lake Tech, they are also doing assessments alongside with us. They are working together. Again, facilitated by the REACH Act, we're working with those educational counselors to actually ensure that the individual is able to be successful in that career training.
You have a follow-up?
Second question.
Okay, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was curious if you all have actually developed the Education and Industry Consortium that was required under Senate Bill 240. And if you have, what has kind of been the feedback from the board?
Okay, give that one a shot. You're recognized.
Okay. So we are in the process of crafting that educational and industry consortium. I'm very excited because in Central Florida, we're going to be working alongside our University of Central Florida partners, as well as our state colleges and our technical college partners. We expect to get the first consortium meeting going after the first of the year, the calendar year. And we will be talking about the sectors of growth and emergence in our Central Florida region, and definitely we'll be bringing that information back to all of the programs that we deliver.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Representative Gonzalez-Pittman, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thanks for the presentation.
Thank you.
On page 26, it's the outcome data. I'm a bit confused because it looks like, as Representative Esposito pointed out, you had 403, if they're not duplicative, we're just, I'm assuming it's one count, but let's just say 403 of the 2,200 people were touched or referred to employment or received some services?
So of the 2,200 that were referred specifically for the HOPE partnership, and that is a subset of all of the TANF individuals referred, the individual outcomes that are listed here were for those who volunteered to be a part of the program. It is a much smaller cohort because it is requiring much more coordination and wraparound services between the career consultant on the Career Source Central Florida side and the Department of Children and Families HOPE Navigator.
And if we can just pause for just one moment, and then yes, you will be recognized for follow-up. This is an initiative that was passed by First Lady Casey DeSantis. And of course, there are a lot of working parts. So even though you're seeing here that that happened in September of 2020, understand that there is implementation involved. So that doesn't mean that, you know, the minute we flip the switch, everything's a go. Just keep that in mind with your questions, and you are recognized for follow-up.
So if I understand correctly, of the 2,200 people that were referred to you, only 18% chose your services in HOPE.
Only 18% chose these services. They also may have chosen other services. So this was a menu of services that they were offered.
Okay.
Thank you. Next, we have Vice Chair Beltran. You are recognized.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the presentation. I think my colleague actually kind of got to at least part of my question, which was kind of just trying to understand from these 2,200 referrals we've received over the last couple of years, what it looks like. I guess only a minority of the folks actually, it looked like maybe 400 some actually got services. So whatever additional information you can provide about, I guess, the disposition, if you will, the other 1,700, I'd appreciate either if you can tell us now or you know, give us some more information at a later date. Great, thank you.
Please give that one your best as well. And if you need to get back with us and provide a lot of this information, because it seems like we are getting a lot of questions about this particular
yes.
slide, please send that at a later date if that's helpful as
yes,
well.
Yes, right absolutely. Right. I can provide some more information specifically about the referrals for the HOPE Navigator program. And if it would be helpful, I could also provide information about the general numbers of TANF individuals who are referred for employment services each month and then an annual count.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Lopez. You are recognized for questions.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. So I had a quick question. How have you implemented the REACH Act no wrong door entry, such as how have you improved your intake or case management services? I think that would be interesting to know.
So I think the REACH Act has really helped us to cement those relationships that I talked about in working together with our partners. First of all, we have a comprehensive career center that we have all of the partners either represented in person on site, that is in our West Oaks Mall location, or they are actually connected directly through a virtual connection. In addition, we have two centers, as I mentioned, that are embedded inside of the state colleges that has really helped with the REACH Act's encouragement to further create those synergies between us. And we learn about each other. We understand what is the requirements under education, for example, and what are the requirements under the workforce system. And so we have streamlined a lot of things. Case in point, particularly with the State College, Valencia College, we actually are also, we take our individuals, our career consultants, and embed them in their accelerated skills training center on Judge Drive. And we actually are working together as customers come in, are interested in the short-term training to very quickly go into jobs, and we're able to streamline all of the eligibility and paperwork required, or it's all online, but paperwork required to get individuals into both programs at the same time. We also share the outcomes with them. So we actually are constantly speaking via either phone or actually virtually on how individuals are doing as they progress through their training, as well as where they go to work. And then we take over in providing the continued retention services.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. So I wanted to just sort of, I'm not sure you're doing it, but I wanted to alert you to it. Sure. So as we train justice-involved persons, in particular into the vocational trainings, there are such a thing under the licensing boards and under state agencies. It's referred to in statute as disqualifying offenses. Mm-hmm. And it worries me when we train someone for a job that they cannot hold because of the disqualifying offense. Although there is an exemption process in place for them, it seems as if we want to be very careful that we understand what their charges were and what industries they will be able to work in, so that we actually align their training with the opportunities that will be available to them, after the training and after the, vocational certifications.
Yes.
You're recognized.
Absolutely. In fact, part of that career assessment process, both in the HOPE Navigator program as well as in all of our Workforce Innovation Opportunity Act programs, all of the different career counseling that we're doing, we're looking at those factors directly, and particularly with our education partners. That collaboration is very important because they also have input directly from those businesses and sectors, and you're exactly right. We do not want to put people into a training where they complete that training and then they're unable to go to work. Healthcare, medical, industry certifications are one of the areas that we know that if individuals have certain backgrounds, they are not going to be able to progress forward. So we do a lot of that coaching up front, and we present the different programs and tell them also which industries would be aligned both with their skills, but also that would be warm to their background.
You're welcome. Representative Escamani, you are recognized for a question.
Thank you so much, Chair. And Pamela, it's great to see you. Thank you for all your amazing work. I recently visited the West Oaks Career Source Center with Just for Success, and it was awesome just to see the incredible energy in the space and all the training rooms and connect with the staff too. I know y'all working incredibly hard, so I really do appreciate it. I wanted to just two questions specific to our region for Central Florida. Mm-hmm. So we're very historically very reliant on service jobs. So I was wondering if you can speak more to some of the efforts of economic mobility to help folks that are employed, maybe they're seeking more advanced employment for more economic security. And if you can maybe speak to some of that work in our region, I think that would be really enlightening for the members as well.
Sure.
You are recognized.
Thank you. So as you said, interestingly enough, as we look at the individuals that we serve, and our region, by the way, last year served 60,000 individuals total in some way, shape, or form. So we do have quite a big reach. We served over 3,500 businesses. And we do see that 61% of our population actually are individuals who have a high school diploma at a minimum. They have some college or training, but they are not making enough to sustain their families. And so they are coming to the Career Source system to actually look at other skills and opportunities. And so through the Career Source system in partnership, continued to be really supported through the REACH Act initiatives, we are working very diligently with our education partners in particular to look at where can we upskill individuals, and even working with businesses to upskill existing workers who might need another skill. Great example of that is emergency medical technicians, EMTs, in municipalities that need a paramedic certification to not only move in their career, but also to advance in their wage. and be able to better support their families. And we have provided funding and training with a number of our municipalities to upskill individuals. That's one example. I feel like I'm talking a lot about Valencia College, but they are an incredible partner in Orange and Osceola County for us because they have programs directly next door to where our career center is that we can take individuals through and show them photonics and optics opportunities that they can start training, earn a good wage, and then go to work and continue their education through the university, through employer tuition reimbursement. So we have a lot of resources. A lot of the challenge is getting individuals interested in different kinds of careers. Of course, we do have a lot of also careers that track up through our hospitality and tourism opportunities. All of our theme parks are not only guest services, but they're practically cities, basically. And so they have many programs and services, and we work directly with all of them to do job training as well as outreach and recruitment.
Yes, you're recognized.
Thank you so much. Thanks for that that great review. What are some of the barriers you see to folks completing programs? And I'm also thinking about systemic barriers, so maybe things like transportation or maybe language barriers. And especially for our region, you know, we have some of the largest arrivals of immigrants, including those who are seeking refuge from Venezuela. We have, of course, a very large and thriving Puerto Rican community. And these are going to be communities that maybe they had licensure back in their home community, but doesn't always translate to Florida. So if you maybe speak to some of those dynamics and barriers and just what would be your recommendations for us to try to eliminate those?
You're recognized.
Thank you. So Central Florida is growing tremendously. Our population is about 2.8 million in our region. And we do have individuals who come from all over the world that are part of our workforce. And so we do find that some individuals come with credentials that are not recognized in our workforce. Again, I think one of the things that we do in this pilot project with Department of Children and Families is look at individuals who could benefit from the employment services that the Career Source system offers. But why do people not take advantage of the project? And that is could be for many of the other reasons that exist throughout our state. You know, people don't have resources for transportation. We are an enormous region. It pretty much takes a day to go from one side of our region to the other. And so if you don't have reliable transportation, it's going to be difficult for you to continue in services as well as go through training and become successful. Housing is also, of course, very challenging. And we work with, again, as we continue to better understand each of our regional partners' resources, we'll be better to be able to provide referrals that really lead to answering some of those questions about housing, about transportation. We do have embedded in the Career Source system the federal bonding process, which does help us in serving individuals with criminal background, and we are able to very quickly get them into employment services. Again, they may have barriers, though, that prevent them from going into particular occupations because of statutes, for example, or just generally that sector is not favorable to individuals of any kind of criminal background. So we continue to work on these barriers each day. And of course, as we look at new opportunities for transportation and for housing, those will be very beneficial to our populations.
Thank you. And Representative Escamani, you're giving some great examples of what I call the missing middle, which is the non-traditional student. Upskilling is my love language. I think Carrington hears me say it about 20 times a day. He probably is ready to close the door when he sees me coming in, because this is exactly what I'm talking about. I have the largest Hispanic population in my district outside of Miami-Dade area, and I'm seeing a lot of jobs that used to be held by a high school student that helped with gas money and, you know, insurance costs and their clothes and taught them work ethics are now having people that are in their 40s and 50s. And so how do we empower them and get them with skills, upskill them into better positions? which really ultimately is what we want at the end of the day. So thank you for bringing up my love language. Representative Henson, you are recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I'm really excited about this whole partnership. I've actually contacted my career source people to find out if they're participating and where they are along the way. I think my question, which is different from everybody's, how can we provide a smooth transition and progressive movement of our different career sources into this HOPE navigation? And how can we be a resource to them as legislators?
You're recognized.
So I do know that this year, each of the career source regions are getting resources to have a HOPE navigator, HOPE coordinator embedded inside the fabric of the program. And this will help to, first of all, take that first step and sit down with the regional Department of Children and Family partners, talk more directly about creating referrals that are sticky, that stay in programming. And as I mentioned before, CareerSource Central Florida is working together with CareerSource Florida to provide the technical assistance, the lessons learned, the things that have worked well, and the things that we would encourage our colleagues to avoid as the HOPE Navigator and Florida HOPE Project rolls out across the state in the next year.
You have a follow-up? You are recognized?
CareerSource Florida. Would I contact you to find them to help me? I mean, who is CareerSource Florida? Help me with that.
CareerSource Florida is the statewide workforce development board. Adrienne Johnston is here. She is the president.
Thank you.
Yes.
And we will be having presentations in the future as well. Thank you. Okay, Representative Amnesty, you are recognized for a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Can you kindly elaborate how has your board's relationship with the business community in our region, Central Florida, has been impacted post the REACH Act?
You're recognized.
Okay. So post REACH Act, I think that in Central Florida, we did have a group of staff who were specifically tasked with going out into the business community. Post-REACH Act, what the REACH Act has done is actually helped us to focus that very directly on the programs that are also aligned to credentials of value. So we're looking at those programs that lead to really middle skill opportunities. And so you know in Central Florida, we have an amazing growing modeling and simulation sector. We want to get more individuals understanding that. We have a growing advanced manufacturing, advanced packaging sector in Osceola County. We want our business consultants to have greater relationships with those growing and emerging industries that are actually also on the credentials list. So the credentials list that was created under the REACH Act is actually driving how the regional areas are looking at growing and emerging industries, listening to the business community, and ensuring that the training resources in particular are going to industries that help people to get into good wages and are also meeting the needs in each of the regions.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your presentation, members. That concludes our presentations, and hopefully I managed to get to everyone and their questions. Thank you, Ms. Crowfoot, for your presentation, and Ms. Nabors as well. There is a lot of passion on this committee, a lot of great questions today. I know myself as a small business owner, also as a board of director on CareerSource and chair of this committee, everywhere I go, I'm being asked questions by businesses who have needs that are not filled and not met. And then we also have many friends and friends of friends who are struggling in the workforce, workplace, and talking to us as well. So I think that I love the passion that you all bring to this meeting and the accountability, because I feel very strongly about that as well. So that concludes today's agenda. Seeing no other business before the subcommittee, Representative Dunkley moves we rise. Without objection, the meeting is adjourned.